This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris and you're listening to The Property Show. Now, one of the most common questions we get from aspiring real estate investors is whether to buy property directly or to purchase shares in a real estate investment trust, or more commonly referred to as a REIT. So to get a better understanding of the difference between the two and to essentially learn what REITs are all about, we have joining us on the show today, Dato' Stuart Lebroy, Chairman of Alpha REIT Managers, which is an unlisted REIT that specializes in education assets. Good morning, Dato'. It's lovely to have you here.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
So really, this is the show that's REITs 101. So for those who are not familiar with REITs, I think it would really help us if you could explain to the first-time investor what a REIT is.
I think I'll start. It's a 101 show, so let's start at the very beginning.
Malaysians good place to start.
And Asians in general love property. And I'm sure a lot of the people that listen to the show are very much looking at investing in property. Why do we invest in property? Three things. Firstly, it's a hedge against inflation. Okay, it's a measure of your wealth. People like to brag how many houses they own. And then people tend to have it as an inheritance for their kids. You know, son number one gets the big house, son number two gets a smaller one. Whatever it is, it's spread around when people expire and they leave their property to their children. The other thing is, you know, what properties do we buy? What's available in the market? Well, you know, the obvious choices, you have houses, you've got shop lots, you've got condominiums, and you have office suites. They're affordable bite-sized investors for investments for most of the initial investors coming into the market. But they do have their problems. Let me tell you what they are. You cannot get rid of them quickly.
Okay.
Ever try selling a property 6 to 10 months, maybe a year if you're lucky? Sometimes there are no buyers at all.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is that you get exposed to interest rates because you tend to borrow a lot of money to buy these properties. So if interest rates go up, you could find yourself in a negative cash flow position. Then you're taxed on your income, all right? And then the worst thing is finding a tenant. And this market is becoming very difficult. So all these things stacked up against an investment in a property right now. People always say, you know, properties, they always tell you stories. I bought a property 20 years ago and now it's worth a fortune.
Mm.
If you bought REITs 20 years ago, you're worth a fortune too. Let me come back now as to, you know, as when we started the REIT business in 2005 in Malaysia, I was fortunate enough to have the first to be able to list the first real estate investment trust, Access REIT.
Access REIT, yeah.
And that was listed on August the 3rd in 2005. And that gave, for the first time, the investor an opportunity to have an alternative form of property investment. Now, let me just go back to what a REIT is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is a nice definition of a REIT, okay? A real estate investment trust is a listed vehicle that invests in a portfolio of income-generating properties, which means you get the rents. Rents collected, less your expenses and your manager's fees, mm-hmm. are then distributed entirely to the shareholders of the units, which means that you get regular distributions. Some REITs deliver it every quarter, some every half year. So you're getting regular income coming into your bank account every 3 months or 6 months. Okay. The other thing that's interesting about it, you only get taxed 10% on that income. There's a 10% withholding tax on your income, and after that, all the money you get from your dividends, you don't have to tell the IRB.
So that's different from owning a property.
A very different
proposition. You get taxed differently.
Yeah. But let me go back to why REITs are interesting. Because REITs actually, when you invest in a REIT, you're actually investing a share in the property that REIT owns. You have equity ownership, but not control. So you're buying a share, like you can say if you buy a Pavilion, say, Pavilion REIT, okay?
All right.
You can say, well, I own that window as you drive past, however how big your share is, okay? You own a chunk of the building. Literally, you do. So you actually own that. So if you have a portfolio, a REIT with a portfolio, you've spread your risk across 30 to 40 properties.
So when you say a REIT with a portfolio, one REIT can manage multiple buildings.
Oh, they have. Lots of REITs. I mean, you take Access, they have nearly 40 properties. The smaller mall REIT, the mall REITs tend to be very large but very few in number.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find that they're generally large portfolios, which means bigger the portfolio, the lower the risk. If I have 40 properties and one property goes empty, I have 39 properties giving me income. You have one house and the tenant leaves, you've got zero income.
Sure.
And that's where the risk is.
And as you mentioned, you know, there are different types of properties. So I'm assuming that different REITs focus on different types of properties?
Yes, there is. In Malaysia, there's actually quite a good range of investments in REITs. You have office REITs. You have mall REITs or retail REITs. You have healthcare REITs. You've also got hospitality REITs that invest.
So healthcare REITs would be hospitals?
Hospitals.
And hospitality hotels?
Hospitality with hotels, okay. So, and you've also got things like industrial REITs.
Factories?
Not really that much. It's more warehouses.
Warehouses, all right.
And also I say warehouses are very interesting now because this is becoming the star investment amongst global investors today. Why? E-commerce is driving that whole industry big time. So you can see across the globe, industrial properties are at the top of investors' lists today.
Industrial properties. And Alpha REIT does educational
education.
Assets.
We're the first in the world doing it.
So schools?
Schools.
Universities?
Universities, schools, right? Okay. Colleges, even training centers. You know, all for the purpose of education. And interesting about schools is that however old a school is, it never loses value.
So the REIT managers own the physical
property? We manage a portfolio. All REITs actually held by a trustee. Okay? It's held by a trustee, okay, who issues the units to the shareholders. And we are appointed by the trustee to manage the portfolio. We are paid a fixed fee. We can't simply charge anything we want. Mm-hmm. We get a percentage of the value of the portfolio to manage it for the unit holders.
And this, so the manager's fees are fixed?
Fixed.
And that's almost competitive across the board?
It's global.
Okay.
And basically, you can see it in any annual report, how much they actually take in terms of fees. And it's fairly uniform across all the REITs. There is a general consensus that, you know, the rates being charged are very reasonable.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about how the value of a REIT is generally assessed. Because if they're owning, they're managing all these different properties, how would a first-time investor or, you know, anyone who's looking at REITs know which REITs would be a good REIT or a valuable REIT, so to speak?
Well, there are three things that drive the value of a, or more than three things that drive the value of a REIT. Firstly, of course, is the valuation reports. All REITs properties are valued every year. Okay? So you know exactly year to year whether your property is rising in value or reducing in value.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that the managers are very professional. Okay? So you look at the manager. If the manager is a good manager and they're growing the portfolio and giving you better returns every year, that's a good REIT to buy. Okay? Look at the sector that you want to be in. Do you like shopping malls? Do you like hotels? Do you like offices? What's your flavor?
Mm.
And I think you stick to what you like, okay? And you can always look at REIT performance because there's a lot of information in the market today on how their share price has tracked and how they've gone. Interesting facts, okay? I've been tracking some REITs for a long time. I did a bit of research. And you take, for instance, like my old company, Axis.
Okay.
If you'd bought a share back in 2005, your returns today would be 270%. Not bad.
That's more than not bad.
About 160% of that was in cash, and the balance was in capital gains. So what you have basically is and all REITs actually do this. You have an annual compounded growth rate, nearly 10% a year, which is awesome because you get your money back. When you invest it in, you probably get your money back after year five or six in dividends.
Would you consider REITs the ideal type of investment for someone with a lower risk profile? Would this be?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because it's actually one very liquid way of owning properties. You can trade it and get your money back in 3 days. You can't do that with a physical house. You don't like the stock, you can sell it, buy something else. It doesn't stop you from swapping between asset class to asset class. If you find one asset class having a tough time, mm-hmm. you can move to another one. If you think, you know, the malls are going to do very well, then by all means put your money in there. Or you think industrial is doing well, move your money into that.
I'm speaking to Dato' Stuart Lebroy, chairman of Alpha REIT Managers. After this, we're going to be looking at the market performance of REITs. So make sure you stay tuned to The Property Show, BFM 89.9. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Melissa Idris. You're listening to The Property Show. Today, we're talking all about REITs with Dato' Stuart Lebroy, chairman of Alpha REIT Managers, which is an unlisted REIT that specializes in education assets. With, say, property is notoriously cyclical. What about REITs? I mean, is that somehow tied to the ebbs and flows of a stock market?
Very rarely. It actually is tied to interest rate cycles. Because what you have really is an interest, a value in terms of your yield against what the risk-free rate is in the country.
Mm.
And there's a spread.
And so what about Malaysia? Because we had Bank Negara increase interest rates, or the OPR rate, the overnight policy rate, in January. So the idea that this low interest rate environment may not last for long, is that something that perhaps REIT investors should be wary of?
They should be, because what REITs are basically is a perfect mechanism for adjustment. Because if interest rates go up, people demand higher dividends. And as a result of that, the share price comes down. So it actually moves up and down. But on an overall basis, globally, REITs have proven to give positive returns right throughout any cycle. They ride the cycles out. People ask me, what's a good time to get into REITs? I say, any time is a good time, because they tend to power up their portfolios over time, grow the portfolios, grow the income. And as the income grows, you get better dividends. And better dividends equate to higher share prices. So your total returns tend to be very attractive over a long time.
So, but what are some of the risks? If someone was interested in investing in REITs, there must be some risks, apart from perhaps looking at the interest rates. What else would they be looking at?
Look before you buy, okay? Look at how much debt they're carrying on their books. Because if they're carrying a lot of debt, then it means that they're probably exposed to the interest rate cycles more than one that has a low debt. On average, Malaysian REITs are very disciplined. They run their debts run between 25 to 35%. Okay? A few are actually higher than that, but by and large, they're pretty conservative. One third is in debt. You know, when you buy a house, how much do you borrow?
95.
Thank you very much. So how exposed are you there? Okay, so it's quite a different story there.
Right.
So look at how much debt they're carrying, which means that a lot of REITs, capital management, or management of the finances of a REIT, are very important. Mm-hmm. And if a lot of REITs have taken the steps to lock in long-term loans at fixed rates, so they ride the interest rate cycle out very, very well. Okay. But having said that, you know, although the government raised the OPR by 25 basis points, the treasuries have not gone up at all. They're locked in at 3.95.
Okay,
since October last year.
And you would keep a close eye. So that would be a data point to watch.
Data point is treasuries, 10-year treasuries.
This is the U.S. treasuries you're talking about?
Here.
Malaysian treasuries?
Malaysian treasuries, because everything's linked to that. Okay, OPR may go up and down, but the treasury rate's basically your benchmark. And then you see what yield your stock is giving you. If it gets a bit narrow, get a bit worried. Okay. If it widens up, buy.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, you're painting quite a rosy picture when it comes to REITs. But if someone were to look at, say, the performance of REITs year to date, it's been on the downtrend. It's been on the decline. And there's been a lot of talk, Dato, about, you know, the concern that there could be oversupply in the office space. So let's say you're interested in a REIT that is invested primarily, or is looking, specializes in, primarily in, say, office space or commercial space, would that be a concern for investors going into this asset class?
Well, not all REITs are created equal.
Okay.
Would you be worried that the Twin Towers will go empty?
No.
Thank you very
much.
Not in
the least.
Exactly. That's an office REIT. KLC is an office. And who's their main anchor? It's the Twin Towers and your Petronas there. So you're pretty much safe in that respect. So certain portfolios that REITs own, some office REITs, may have difficulties. A lot of them are actually on long leases, which means their tenants are there for long periods of time, which means there's low risk. So when you look at a REIT, go to the annual reports and look at how many percent of the portfolio is coming under renewal, which they publish every year. Mm-hmm. You will know if 50% has come under renewal, I would think that you should look at it very carefully. So I think that also triggers off a risk point. Yes, there is oversupply. But if you look at what's in REITs today, Pavilion's got the Pavilion, Sunway's got the Sunway Pyramid. All the jewels of real estate are currently available for people to invest in. Now, if you had a choice of buying a KLCC office space, which as the Twin Towers, as opposed to some office building somewhere, what would you buy?
Fair enough, but what makes a REIT grow? What would be, say, some of the drivers in terms of how a REIT would continue to grow or add to the portfolio?
REITs actually grow because of acquisitions. And basically building out your portfolio means you have higher income and higher dividends to pay. Because you buy what we call accretive products, which means that your returns are higher than the financing rates that you can get in the market or the yields of your particular REIT. So if you're buying accretively, the difference between what your share price is and also what the market interest rates are and what you're buying at actually accretes to the fund. It means profit goes back and your distributions start to rise.
Yep.
So It's a very simple product. It's the most uncomplicated stock you can ever find on the market.
And you said that Alpha REIT is the first in the world to specialize in educational assets.
Yes.
Would that mean that there's no comparison, so investors might not know how to benchmark the performance?
At the moment, I'm afraid not. The only education REITs are in student housing, and that's all. We're actually looking at the actual colleges to look at long-term, because they take long-term positions on tenancies, 10 years, 15 years, 20-year tenancies, which means they're very low-risk portfolios. We like the product. Because if you look at it, schools are the one thing we touch all our lives. We go to school, and then we get married. Our kids go to school. They get married. Their kids go to school. So you're taking people back and forth to schools for the rest of your life. And so it's something that we are very emotionally attached to and understand as a real estate proposition.
So why is it that nowhere else in the world, no other REIT has decided to focus on this?
Well, maybe they'll change their minds.
Well, once they see you do it. Do you think, you've been in this game for a while, do you think that there's a level of education and awareness now about REITs in the market?
I hope so. We've been actually talking ever since I started, I think, on this journey. We've been trying to do seminars. We talk talking to investment houses and talking to analysts. A lot of people didn't understand the product when we first started. It was really like pushing water uphill. But eventually, I think everyone got the message. Because the first time I stood in front of an audience, I asked them, how many of you, about 1,000 people there, how many of you are invested in REITs? 4 hands went up.
Oh.
The take-up rate is still not as great as we'd like it to be, but I think there's room for the public to look at this as an alternative to fixed deposits. Because the math is very simple. I'll give you an example. If you put $100,000 in fixed deposit and left it there for 10 years, you might get $35,000 back. Say 3.5%, right? Your $100,000 is worth $50,000 by that time because, money just depreciates like crazy. So in real dollar terms, you're down. You're negative.
Right.
Okay? But if you put your money in a REIT, which is real estate appreciates. You might get maybe a 6%, 7% return, say $60,000. Dollars a year or $6,000 on $100,000. Mm. And then at the end of it, you've gained, your valuation's gone up maybe about 25, 30%. So it tracks inflation.
Is there a danger of the valuation decreasing?
Has any property you've known ever gone down on the long term? It's a cycle.
Mm.
You'll get your ups and downs, but the trend is always up.
Okay.
Because money depreciates. And when you link back an asset against a cash consideration, you'll find that, as cash gets weaker and weaker, the properties tend to go up to compensate.
Is there such a thing as the right REIT for me? When one person is perhaps looking at, say, diversifying their investment portfolio and thinking about REITs, is there such a thing as assessing a REIT to make sure that it fits the investor's right risk profile, right appetite for investment? Do you think there's such a thing?
Well, normally they say that if you were 20% of your portfolio in REITs, it outperforms. That's really a number they throw around.
Okay, we're not 20% saying, of the portfolio.
Yeah, 20% investment in a REIT in REITs in your portfolio is a good number to start with. And if you like to increase that exposure, you can. But I think that it's pretty safe because you're definitely going to get cash returns every year, which is a nice thing about it. It's a really nice dividend stock.
Mm.
Okay, you don't get it rolled back into your principal. No, you get paid money every 3 months. So if you're a retiree, you can put your money there and you get a check in the mail every 3 months, which is very nice. And you can actually budget. You can save enough to put into a REIT. In fact, if you want to reinvest that money back in, you start multiplying your units and you get even more. So it's a very low-risk investment. Yes, there are headwinds. But at the end of the day, you have to look at the numbers very carefully. One of the key elements to look at is the net asset value of each stock. It's the published number. You can get it from their websites.
Mm-hmm.
And that, compared against their share price, will show you if you're buying the properties in that portfolio at a premium or a discount. And the reason why I say REITs are great buy now is because only 3 to 4 of the REITs today in this recent sell down is trading at a premium. A lot are trading to discounts.
Okay, so you're seeing the fall as perhaps an opportunity to buy.
It's a buy opportunity right now, most definitely. I think it's a good time to go back in because the yields are now in the 6s and 7s.
Right.
You see, the average yield of the REIT market now is about 6.7%, whereas 6 months ago it was 5.7%. So they're up 100 basis points, good time to get in. And then
are they expected to go up anymore?
Well, they have made quite a good recovery in the last few weeks.
All right.
So I think...
Let's watch it. Let's hope that it continues this uptrend. A quick question about unlisted REITs versus listed REITs. So we've been talking a lot about how we can get exposure to the real estate through listed REITs. Why are some REITs unlisted and can investors look at them as an option?
Well, unlisted REITs, if you look at the new guidelines from the Securities Commission. Mm-hmm. The new guidelines say unlisted REITs, you know, can only be invested by institutional or high net worth individuals, but by and large is institutional because we pay tax, unlike the normal REITs. We are exposed to tax. And institutions are tax neutral. They don't pay tax. So it makes it a good investment. What we're doing with the private REIT is because schools are a new asset class and they're difficult to actually accumulate assets. It's a process. Mm. So we started off initially with about $320 million portfolio, and now we're trying to scale it up. And hopefully when we hit about $1 billion to $2 billion, we'll take it to market. And then it become public. We don't intend to keep it private forever. We have a timeline to get to the market, and we hope it'll be an interesting product or an alternative investment for investors.
And when can we expect that in the market?
In about 3 years' time.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. Dato, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you. I've been speaking to Dato Stuart Lebroy, chairman of Alpha REIT Managers, an unlisted REIT that specializes in education assets. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you very much.
I'm Melissa Idris for The Property Show, right here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.